lesson is discussing the true reality of the dollar of $100. Who was he? What did he fall to? And what were some of those struggles he faced? And we had covered other important matters in the book, which we don't need to repeat at this time, but if the brothers want to refer back to their notes, if they've taken any, or the recordings, then we advise them to do so. As for where we have reached, now, then it is the portion of this compilation in which the Imam, Rahimahullah, he said, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ مَا الْأُصُولُ الثَّلَاثَةَ الَّتِي تَجِبُ مَعْرِفَتِهَا. So he said, Rahimahullah, so if it is said to you, what are those three fundamental principles that are obligatory upon you to know? فَقُلْ, and then he continues to say what those three fundamental principles are. So the Imam, he used this word usul. He used the word usul, or foundations, to describe these points. And the usul, that is, many of these are that which other things are established upon. Linguistically, an asl is something which something else is established upon. So the Imam has... Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa And continuing what we're saying, the Imam has used this word, usul al-thalatha, or these three foundational or fundamental principles, because that these are those principles and points which all the other matters of the religion are established upon. So there is no matter or point of the religion except that it is based on one of these three, or inclusive of these three. So he said, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ مَا الْأُصُولَ الثَّلَاثَ. If it is said to you, what are these three foundational principles? Then say, فَقُلْ مَعْرِفَةُ الْعَبْدِ رَبَّهُ وَدِينَهُ وَنَبِيَّهُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So it is the knowing of the slave his Lord, that the slave knows his Lord, his religion, and his Prophet. His Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the Imam, he said, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ. And if it is said to you, then as it is known and well known that these principles that the Imam has mentioned, then he has based it upon those ahadith which come about the su'al in the grave. When the slaves are asked and questioned in the graves after their death about these three points. And this is something which is from those matters of the unseen which Ahlus Sunnah have agreed upon that we accept. And we do not deny them, and we do not seek to twist or misinterpret any of their meanings. So even Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that he had said in his Usul al-Sunnah, وَيَأْتِيهِ مُنْكَرٌ وَنَكِيرٌ كَيْفَ شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَكَيْفَ أَرَادٌ. That the person, when they are in the grave, and he mentioned this after he mentioned the عذاب القبر, the punishment of the grave, that the two angels, Munkar and Nakir, will come to him, and he will ask, مَنْ رَبَّ وَمَنْ وَمَا دِينَ وَمَا وَمَنْ نَبِيَّ. That he will ask, that the angels will ask, Munkar and Nakir, they will sit up the person, and they will ask, who is your Lord? And the believer will be able to answer. The believer will say, Rabbi Allah, that my Lord is Allah. And that when the person is asked, وَمَا دِينُ, then the believer, the true believer, who is firm upon his religion, he will be able to answer, دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And when he is asked about who is your Prophet, then the true believer and the one who has followed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be able to answer, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these, the Imam here, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he is preparing us and making us realize the reality of the situation, that reality of being prepared for this time when we are asked about these matters. About being prepared for this time when we are asked about this matters, these matters. So the believer who has thabat, who has firmness, and is steadfast upon these matters in this life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for him in the hereafter. And as for those who are not firm in this, then indeed they are in a dangerous situation. So as has come in the authentic ahadith, that for the believer that answers correctly, that it will be called out, sadaqa abdi, that this, my slave has spoken the truth, and he will, his grave will be expanded, and he will smell Jannah, and a window will be opened where he will see his place in Jannah, and he will supplicate to Allah, asking for the day of judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, to be brought nearer to him. And as for who is not able to answer these questions, even if he said them in this life, even if he used to say that his Lord was Allah, even that he used to say that he followed the Prophet ﷺ and claimed that he practiced the religion of Islam, if it was not upon those two matters which are necessary for actions to be accepted, then he will not be able to answer these questions. Even if he said them in this life, then he'll say, La adri, la adri, ha ha. He will say, I don't know, I don't know. I only said what the people said. I only said what the people said, what they used to say. So, that which is necessary in all of these matters is that the person first and foremost has ikhlas. That they are sincere in their statements and in their actions. And likewise, that they have the correct mutaba'ah, that they follow and obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in practicing this religion. And it is not something that they merely say, make as a statement, and not something that they merely repeat. And the goal, again, from us reading this, and from why the Imam first wrote this, is so that it may be ingrained in your i'tiqad, that it may be ingrained in your belief, in your heart, that you have surety and yaqeen about these matters. And it is not something that you can hope to benefit from reading it and memorizing it from an academic standpoint. But rather, this is i'tiqad. And this is what we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep us firm with throughout this life and up until we die. So as Allah mentioned, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. So as Allah stated in Surah Ibrahim, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said that which means that Allah keeps firm those who have iman with the firm statement. بالقول الثابت, with the firm statement. And this, as has been explained, is لا إله إلا الله. There is none who is worthy of worship except Allah alone. في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. In this life and in the hereafter. So the keeping firm, Allah is keeping us firm, the keeping firm of the believers in the hereafter, then this is their, His keeping them firm at that point of being asked in the grave, being questioned in the grave. وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. And Allah misguides those who are ظَالِمِينَ, those who are oppressors, or go beyond bounds, and Allah does whatsoever He wills. Whatsoever He wills. So after the Imam, rahimahullah, he emphasizes these matters generally. And he says, what are these points generally? Meaning these three fundamental principles generally. Then he will go into specifics and details. And he will mention proofs. He will mention proofs and evidences. Texts from the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we have covered before, that there is no means to get closer to Allah or to seek to please Allah except by means of the wahi, except by means of the revelation. We can only get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of the revelation. And there's no means to understand the revelation correctly except with how the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood those texts and understood those proofs and evidences. So it is not for anyone to come and try and establish any principles in the religion or say that there are any foundations in the religion except that it is based upon authentic proofs and evidences, and that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood them and acted upon them in that way. So there is no blind following, and there is no any innovating anything from our own desires. Rather, when the Imams of the Sunnah, such as Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, spoke and wrote, then indeed he based it upon proofs and that which was understood from the righteous Salaf. So, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ. So if it is said to you, مَنْ رَبُّكَ. مَنْ رَبُّكَ. Who is your Lord? فَقُلْ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي رَبَّانِي وَرَبَّ جَمِيعَ الْعَالَمِينَ بِنِعْمِهِ. So when it is said to you, مَنْ رَبُّكَ. When it is said to you, man rabbuk, when you are asked, and this is something that we must again remember, that this doesn't mean if you are asked. This is when you are asked, because indeed everyone will be asked. We will be asked in the graves, and we will be asked and questioned yawm al-qiyamah. So when it is asked to you, when it is said to you, who is your Lord? Faqul, so say, Rabbi Allah, that my Lord is Allah, the one who has Rabbani, the one who has cultivated me, the one who has sustained me and raised me up. وَرَبَّ جَمِيعَ الْعَالَمِينَ بِنِعْمِهِ. And he has likewise Rabba, or cultivated and provided for and sustained all of the عَالَمِينَ, all of the creation, with his blessings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the Rabb. He is a Rabb. So this is from his perfect, most beautiful names. And again, we do not affirm any names or attributes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or negate any names or attributes for Allah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that which has come in the authentic texts. So that which is undoubtedly from Allah's beautiful, lofty names and has come throughout the Qur'an and the authentic sunnah in many places, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rabb, that he is the Lord, and there is no one else from amongst the creation, or there is no one from the creation that may have this name, Ar-Rabb. Ar-Rabb. Rather, it may be used in a... if it is something tied to a specific item or a specific thing, such as Rabbul Manzil, or the owner of this house. But as far as Ar-Rabb, or the Lord, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the one and only Lord of all the creation. So Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, may Allah preserve him upon goodness and preserve his health, then he beautifully he points out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tarbiyah of us, how he cultivates us and sustains us, it is so amazingly detailed, and there are so many blessings, uncountable blessings, which are involved in that. And it is not something which we can even comprehend. We can begin to think about it, as it is from the signs of Allah, but it's not something that we can ever truly comprehend with our limited minds, how many and great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings are upon us. So when we say that from Allah's attribute of being a Rabb, and his name of being a Rabb, is that he provides for us, But how truly amazing it is, I mean, to the extent that Allah provides for us and sustains us and cultivates us and raises us up without any choice from ourselves. Without any choice from ourselves. So from the very instant of your consummation, from the very instance of you beginning as a fetus in your mother's womb, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins sustaining you from that point. And you are nourished from the body of your mother without any choice from yourself, without any power and ability from yourself. And not even your mother may choose in that regard. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains the fetus up until it is born. And then Allah provides milk from the mother. This is something that happens, that Allah has created in the mother, that the milk is produced as food for the child. And the mother has the natural inclination in her fitrah, how Allah created the mothers from the creation, whether they are humans or from the types of animals, that mother innately, without choice, has that desire to care for that baby. And Allah continues to provide for you with this milk up until you reach an age that you can eat solid food. And you can have other than milk to drink. And you do not need that milk anymore because Allah has established your body able to take nourishment from other sources of nutrition, from food and drink. And He raises you up in this state that you're consuming and drinking from when you reach, up until you reach puberty or maturity, until you reach old age. Throughout all of this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He creates for you the desire to want food and to want drink. It's not something that you choose, this is something that you need, and that Allah has created this need that you will want these things. And when this provision from Allah has been placed in your body, then it is Allah alone who extracts the nutrients from it, the way He has created your body, extracts the nutrients from it, and delivers those nutrients throughout your muscles, throughout your organs, due to no choice of your own. Due to no choice of your own. And your body, of course, removes whatever it does not need due to no choice of your own. No one can ever say, no, I'm going to eat my food and I will keep it with me forever. No, Allah has created you and He has made you in the best possible way that your body will remove that waste without any choice of yourself. So this is truly from Allah's amazing tarbiyah of us, how Allah cultivates us and provides for us in ways which are from the point of being unimaginable to how deep these matters are. And these examples that we have said, this is how Allah has provided for you. So as the Imam said, فَقُولُ, so say that my Lord is Allah, الَّذِي رَبَّانِي, the one who has cultivated me, وَرَبَّ جَمِيعَ الْعَالَمِينَ, and Allah has provided for all of the creation like this. So every human being and every animal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for them in these ways. That Allah has provided for them in these ways. And the Imam continued, وَهُوَ مَعْبُودِي لَيْسَ لِي مَعْبُودٌ سِوَى, and He is the one whom I worship. I do not have any other ma'bud except Him. He is my ma'bud, the one whom I worship, and He does not have, and I do not have any other one that I worship except Him. So this is from the Sharh Mufassal, or from those detailed matters of the religion that the Imams of the Salaf, that the Imams of Ahl Sunnah clarify with precision. And they don't leave matters to generalities alone. So it could have been easy for him to say that Allah is my Lord who sustains me. Somebody could say this. And most of the people of innovation and desires when they speak about the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they stop at those matters. They stop at those matters and they mention Allah's provision and they mention Allah's control of the universe. But they do, and that Allah has created us. But they do not go into the detail of the matter that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this for us, then He is whom I worship, and there is no other one worthy of worship except Him alone. That there is none worthy of worship except Him alone. So this is from those detailed matters which separates the people of Tawheed from the people of Shirk. Separates the people of Tawheed from the people of Shirk. So the difference between the person of Tawheed and the person of Shirk in this matter, because most of the people whom Allah has created, they will affirm the rububiyyah of Allah, because this is in their innate fitrah. This is how Allah created the people, to recognize Him as their Lord. But this is the difference from the muwahid, the one who worships Allah upon truth, and the one who makes shirk with Allah. So the mushrik will say, Rabbi Allah. They will say that their Lord is Allah, but their worship is not specific and only to Allah, so they will worship along with Allah other things, whether they worship saints or graves or righteous people or trees or animals or idols or anything from the creation. But as for the muwahid, as for the person of Tawheed, then he singles out and establishes worship for Allah alone. So he will affirm that his Lord is Allah, and because Allah is his Lord, then he will make his ibadah, his worship, sincerely and purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without any partner. So anything which comes to you, and anything which is an aid to you in this life from benefits, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has provided that for you. It is Allah who has any good that comes to you, then anything that seems to be from the creation, that it is only Allah who has made that person able to help you in anything. So all praises for Allah alone, and it is Him whom all the tarbiyah has returns to, bini'amihi, due to His blessings. And the Shaykh mentioned, the great Imam, وَكُلُّ مَا سِوَ اللَّهِ عَيْلًا وَنَا وَاحِدْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْعَيْلًا. And everything other than Allah is عَيْلًا, is from the creation. وَنَا وَاحِدْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْعَيْلًا. And I am one individual from that whole creation. So when the scholars, they explain the ilam, or the world, they'll mention that we have the ilam of mankind, the ilam of the jinn, or the world of mankind, the world of the jinn. Likewise, they'll mention the ilam of the animals, and the ilam of jamadat, or inanimate objects. So all of these things, all of these groups of creation which Allah has created, then these are the ilameen. Everything which has been created in the universe is complete and separate from Allah. Complete and separate from Allah. As the Salaf would describe, that Allah is ba'in min khalqi, that Allah is far removed from His creation. Wa ana wahid min dhalika al-'alam, and I am just one individual from that whole creation. So this is the topic that we'll finish with for this lesson, this how to answer this question. Man Rabbuk, that my Lord is Allah. And in the next lesson, inshallah, we will continue. فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكْ بِمَا عَرَفْتُ رَبَّكَ. And if it is said to you, then how do you recognize your Lord? And we will go into the details of how we recognize our Lord and how we recognize that He alone is worthy of worship, and that He alone is the one who has revealed this tremendous legislation to us, so that it may be followed and acted upon correctly. So we'll end there. صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.